The reading this evening comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, to be found on page 1030 of the church Bibles. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Thanks, Harry. Let's pray. Father God, be with us now as we come to look at this passage in a bit more detail, and just give us open ears and open hearts to hear what you want to say to each one of us on this subject of temptation and dealing with the devil. Amen. It may be helpful if you want to have the Bibles in front of you. It's page 1030, Luke 4, starting at verse 1. So a couple of weeks ago, my boss asked me what I was going to be speaking about this evening. So I told him it's this passage where Jesus is in the desert and is tempted by the devil three times, but he resists. A few hours later, he let out a huge sigh. So I said, "Are you okay?" And he replied that, yeah, but he wanted a piece of cake. He knew he shouldn't have a piece of cake because he'd already had one piece of cake, but it was really nice cake. And the sigh was caused because he'd remembered what I'd been saying to him about Jesus being tempted and resisting. He didn't take another piece of cake. I, on the other hand, did. You've probably heard that famous quote from Oscar Wilde, "I can resist everything but temptation." Well, this evening we're going to look at how we can resist temptation and why we should resist temptation. Over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at this story at the beginning of Luke where Jesus was baptized, and then at the age of 30, he was just starting his ministry here on earth. You need to remember, not many people have heard of him at this time or understood the significance of him being there. And the start of our passage finds Jesus, after his baptism, being led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. And that's a key thing for us to remember as we look at this passage. Jesus went into the desert full of the Holy Spirit. He knew God was with him in that place. Now, we're told that Jesus was there for 40 days. And during that time, he was alone. He wasn't with any people. And he didn't eat. I love that understatement at the end of verse 2. At the end of them, that's those 40 days, he was hungry. During those 40 days, Jesus was tempted by the devil. And as we look at this passage, we'll see what challenges Jesus faced, how he responded to those temptations, and what we can learn from him when we face temptation in our everyday lives, as well as understanding why it's important for us to resist temptation. So the passage says that Jesus was tempted for 40 days, but we're only told of these three specific times that he was tempted. And as we look at them, we'll see that they really do challenge Jesus. And we ask the question, would Jesus take these opportunities presented by the devil to start his ministry with a bang? The devil appeared to make him offers he couldn't refuse. Three chances to make a huge impact on the world around him at the start of his adult ministry. Opportunities to say to those around him, "I've arrived, look at me." The devil challenged him in ways that were important to Jesus, ways that would have really struck a chord with him, opportunities that may have been hard to resist. The first offer the devil makes Jesus is to offer to turn him into a magician. He wants Jesus to turn stone into bread to satisfy his hunger. You can imagine the temptation. Jesus had not been eating. He was hungry. Actually, he must have been absolutely starving. And the lure of turning stone into bread must have been strong. And just imagine the impact it would have on people around him who'd seen perform such a thing. They'd think it was some sort of magic trick and would be interested in what else could Jesus do. And we know that Jesus was a miracle worker. Throughout his time on earth, he healed people. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He turned water into wine. What would be so different about turning stone into bread? It'd be an early opportunity to show people what he could do, to get their interest in who he was and the miracles he could perform. The second offer the devil makes to Jesus is to give him the world. In effect, to become dictator Jesus, ruler of the world. Another offer hard to refuse, perhaps? Jesus came to change the world, to bring people to know God and to choose to follow him. What better way than being given authority and splendor over all the world in the blink of an eye? In an instant, people would bow down to him. And in an instant, Jesus would have avoided the pain and suffering of his death on the cross. Temptation indeed. And finally, the devil wants to turn Jesus into a daredevil. He took Jesus to the highest point of the temple and goaded him. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here and your foot will not strike a stone. In other words, you'll fly and land safely. Well, it'd certainly get him noticed. And Jesus wanted people to hear the good news. What better way of getting their attention than a dramatic display in front of all the hordes at the temple? It'd certainly get people talking and wanting to know more about who this Jesus was. It'd have got his ministry off to a flying start, literally. So what was Jesus' response to these temptations? Did he take these quick wins to satisfy his heart's desire, from that instant satisfaction of meeting his need for food to the offer of fulfilling the reason he came to earth? Well, his immediate response is to reject the opportunities the devil presented him. So let's look at how Jesus dealt with the devil. He didn't try arguing with the devil. He didn't even explain why he was resisting temptation. He simply turned to God's word. He relied on God to give him the strength and the words to resist temptation. When the devil tempted Jesus to turn stone to bread, his response was, "Man does not live by bread alone." Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. It's what the people of Israel should have learned when they were in the wilderness. That is, satisfying your need for food, it's not as important as trusting and obeying God. The second temptation apparently offers Jesus the world if he turns his back on God and worships the devil. But we know the devil is a liar. He couldn't fulfill that promise, but he offers it anyway. And again, Jesus responds with words of scripture from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." What the devil is doing, he's tempting Jesus to break the first commandment that's in Exodus 20, verse 3. "You shall have no other gods before me." He is tempting Jesus to avoid the cross, the reason he came to earth. And Jesus' response is to go straight to God's word, to know what to do, to worship and serve only God. And finally, when the devil challenges Jesus to throw himself from the temple, the devil himself tries using scripture to tempt Jesus, using words from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. But again, the devil gets it all wrong. He's trying to use scripture for his own means. These verses don't mean we should force God to step in to save us by doing something deliberately to challenge him, such as throwing yourself from the highest point of the temple. And again, Jesus turns to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 16. "Do not test the Lord your God." Now, it's not clear whether Jesus was quoting scripture to the devil, or as John Stott argues, that he was quoting scripture to himself in the presence of the devil. But either way, Jesus turned to the word of God in his times of trial. These words would remind him and the devil that he was not alone, that there in the desert, there at the top of the temple, Jesus was not alone. He went into the desert full of the Holy Spirit, and that remained with him. At no point is Jesus on his own. And as Jesus quotes God's word, that will surely remind him. It gave him the right response to those temptations, that he should not rely on his own means, but he should always trust God. He should not look for the easy way out, that God is the only one to be worshipped and served, and not to try and test God. And then we end the passage with the devil leaving Jesus. So what does that all mean for us? Well, we're unlikely to be tempted in the same way that Jesus was. But we come across temptations all the time in our everyday lives. Look at my boss and me being tempted with cake. We need to be alert to being tempted, particularly when something appeals to us. The devil knows our strengths and weaknesses. Rereading this passage, I was really struck by the fact that it's Jesus' strengths, the things that are important to him. That's what the devil used to tempt him. It makes sense, really, doesn't it? If we're being tempted by something we were not really interested in, it's not really temptation. It's easy to refuse. You know, if someone offered me dodgy tickets to the Rugby World Cup final, I'd have no problem saying no. But what is the harm is there in resisting temptation? Well, Jesus knew the compromise would be too great. Turning stone to bread would satisfy his immediate hunger, but would show his lack of trust in God providing for him. Ruling over the world would help him to change it more quickly, would even enable him to avoid the cross, but at what cost? He would have to worship the devil. And actually, the devil doesn't have authority over the world. He was just making empty promises. Nothing but hurt would come out of that false promise. Performing daring acts would get people talking, but would it be about the right things? People would have been attracted for the wrong purpose, be interested for the wrong reasons, and like to fall away quickly when Jesus failed to keep up these daredevil acts. Had Jesus not resisted temptation, he would have betrayed everything he stood for, everything he came to earth for, everything he believed in. And for what gain? Well, he'd have had immediate satisfaction, but only for a short while. Yes, he'd have sated his hunger, but that would only be till the next day. He'd quickly discover the devil was unable to fulfill his promises. And people would probably have grown quickly tired of what they saw as just magic tricks and daredevil acts. Jesus would have lost everything for selfish short-term gain. We may not be tempted in the same way, but giving in to temptation does have an impact. It could be a big impact, you know. The temptation is to shoplift when you're hungry and have no money. Or it could result in a criminal conviction. But I imagine for most of us, even that is somewhat unrealistic. We're going to take some time just to look at some everyday temptations, temptations that are around us, the sorts of things or situations that we could be tempted by. Things that we may not even consider being temptation. There's the temptation to gossip. Well, where's the harm in that, you say? You could justify it by saying to yourself or to the person you're gossiping with that you're only doing it to help the other person. But invariably you end up feeling guilty and the person you're gossiping about hears the rumours and relationships end up being hurt and broken. What about grumbling and moaning when we feel we don't have enough? Look, Fred, he's got another new car. Have you seen Matilda? She's got one of those new smart TVs. It's not fair. All that leads to is jealousy, and we end up feeling bitter and resentment. There's also the temptation to judge others, jumping to conclusions when you've only heard one side of the story or don't know all the facts. All that does is bring tension and suspicion into relationships, completely unjustified. Often with the person you are judging having no idea why you've suddenly changed your behaviour towards them. One that I struggle with is lack of patience with God's timings on things. I'm tempted to go off and do my own thing under my own steam in my own way and just wait for God to stop me. And that's exactly what the devil was tempting Jesus with at the top of the temple. I try and test God. Instead, I need to stop trying to force his hand and trust him and his timing for everything in my life. I'm sure you can think of lots more of examples. But let's turn to look at what we can do when we are tempted. How do we deal with the devil? Well, we can follow Jesus' example. He gives us the things we can do. The first thing to do is recognize whatever it is as temptation, that it comes from the devil. Jesus sees this straight away. But I think it can be harder for us in our everyday life as we face these small temptations all the time. Sometimes it's hard to see that they are a temptation. But as soon as we see it as such, we can do immediately what Jesus did. In responding to the challenges, Jesus does not argue with the devil. He doesn't even get into conversation with him. Do you ever find that? That when you're faced with temptation, you have one of those internal conversations with yourself? So, well, what harm will it do if I tell Polly about Susan? I'm sure she won't mind, even though Susan has asked me not to say anything. Problem shared is a problem halved, you know, all of that. And anyway, if I tell Polly, then we can pray together about it for Susan. And that's so much better than me just praying about it on my own. You know the sort of conversation you have where you end up justifying giving in to the temptation? If we don't even get into those internal conversations, those arguments with the devil, it's much easier to resist. Jesus turns to God's word. That will help him resist temptation. It may feel that we're on our own when we're being tempted, but we're not. Remember, Jesus went into the desert full of the Holy Spirit. We, as Christians, are full of the Holy Spirit. Being tempted is not a sign of weakness or a lack of spirituality, or that even that we're far from God. The devil will use any means he can to tempt us, even trying to persuade us that we're bad Christians. Otherwise, why would we be tempted? You know, it's times like that to remember this story. Remember that Jesus was the perfect human, the perfect Christian, and yet he was tempted. At times when we're being tempted, remembering God's word can give us the confidence, can be so very helpful. So when I'm being tempted to be impatient, I remember a couple of verses. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. But we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. They just remind me that as I wait impatiently, God is with me and has plans for me. I just need to trust him. Another temptation I've struggled with in the past is to shortchange God in the time I spend with him. I could always come up with a good reason not to have my quiet time. There's always something else I could be doing, or I persuaded myself it didn't really matter if I skipped it today. But if I don't spend time with God, reading his word, learning his word, how can I be prepared when I'm tempted? I think it was Lent 2007 when we did the 40 Days of Purpose course here at St. Pat's. And that was a real turning point for me. In it, it suggested that you paired up with someone, an accountable partner, to help you resist temptation, to encourage each other as you study the Bible, to support each other when it gets hard, and to challenge each other when you're tempted. Rachel and I paired up, and since then we have the same quiet time every day. And then we text each other with our thoughts. Knowing that I have to let Rachel know what I think about a passage or a verse really gives me that spur to do it. But over the years, my quiet times have become better, and I've got into a much better habit with it. It means that when we take a break, because we're going on holiday, because some of the books we use are just too big to pack, I'm less tempted not to have my quiet time. I just take a small book with me. But what it also means is that hopefully I can remember more of God's word to help me when I'm tempted, to use to help me to pray and to resist the temptation. Finally, in resisting temptation, Jesus reminded himself of what matters to him most, and that is being right with God. Giving in to temptation would have brought short-term self-satisfaction, but it would have broken his relationship with God. We are called to serve God and to bring him glory in all we do, and that means not giving in to temptation. And sometimes that is really hard, but through prayer, reading and knowing the Bible, it should become easier. But we need to keep doing this. We need to keep studying the Bible and learning God's word. Because at the end of this passage, we don't get a happy ending. We get a warning. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. How I wish those last four words weren't there. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him. Would have been a much better ending. Three temptations and you're done for life. But the bad news is the devil never gives up. Why would he? There is nothing that would delight him more than to see us separated from God. And if he can tempt us away, then all the better. So although we may resist temptation once, twice, three times, that's not it. The devil is a patient fellow and he will wait for another time. So it's vital that we keep close to God and we keep alert. Alert to those signs that we're being tempted. But how do we do that? Well, we just need to keep returning to God and reading his word. If you're struggling with temptation, talk to someone. But make sure it's someone you trust and someone you are willing to be challenged by. Sometimes we don't just have those internal conversations to justify us giving in to temptation. We try and justify it to someone else. So find someone who you'll take those challenges from. If you're part of a home group, you could talk to them. They can pray with you, or they may know a passage in the Bible that will help you. And we also need to come together to worship God, to support each other as a church family, to learn more about God in our services and in the courses that we run. But above all, we need to trust God in all things. All this will help equip us to not only resist temptation, but it'll also help us when we realise those times when we haven't resisted. And we will. There will be times when we are tempted and go with it. But we do, when we do, we know we can just return to God to say sorry and have our sins forgiven. Because Jesus resisted temptation, because he didn't take the easy way out that would have avoided pain and suffering, he willingly went to the cross, suffered, died, and rose again for us, for our sins, that we may have eternal life. Our sins have been forgiven. Jesus' willingness to do that for us should be all the encouragement we need to resist temptation the next time we face it. But if we fail, we can just return to him and say sorry, knowing that we will be forgiven. But as we live our lives, let's do so trying to bring him glory in all the things that we do. Let's pray. Father God, we can learn so much from this passage. Thank you that you are always with us, even at times when we are struggling to resist temptation. Help us to see that being tempted is not a sign of weakness. Help us to turn to you and your word in those difficult times. And when we fail, let us not be afraid to return to you, to say sorry, and to seek your forgiveness. Amen.